One of the advantages of taking a little time to drive this morning, as we're driving, just looking at, just enjoying the stunning day, and looking at all the new life around the place. You know, it's kind of birthing factories in some places, and I was just impressed by this, and really wondered if it was for the church that that the Lord wants to continue to birth new life in a way that we have not seen it before, but it needs to happen, and it's going to come if we want it to come. It's a bit like planning. I mean, you're planning for a whole lot of new lives coming into the world, looking after them, taking care of them, making sure that they go to full term and they go off to the works or some other place. I don't say that about humans, but there needs to be a plan, really, an anticipation of new life and birth. And I believe that God wants to do that amongst us. So if that's for us, write it down, note it, take it on board. If it's not, shrug it off. That was just the impression as we're driving this morning that came to me. So you ready to look at the scriptures this morning? It's either Don or Bev's going to come and read to us, I believe. Looks like Bev. Thank you for that.
Doug's just done the paraphrase for the children. This is the factual. Matthew 21:16. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire labourers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the labourers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. And he saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the labourers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have bore the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Dost thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. Before we look at this amazing and different and interesting parable, I just wanted to share something with you. It's from America. Hope you can cope with that all right. But sitting on the highway waiting to catch speeders, and this is dedicated to the time that we're entering into and the new season in Tiano and places like that with all our visitors who drive on our roads. Sitting on the highway waiting to catch speeders, a state police officer saw a car puttering along at 22 miles per hour. Those of you who don't know what that is, it used to be like that here at one time. He thinks to himself, that car is just as dangerous as a speeder. So he turns his lights on, pulls the car over. Approaching the car, he notices there are five old ladies, two in the front, three in the back, wide-eyed and looking like they saw ghosts. The driver, obviously confused, said, "Officer, I don't understand. I wasn't doing over the speed limit. What seems to be the problem?" "Ma'am," the officer said, "you should know that driving slower than the speed limit can also be dangerous." "Slower than the speed limit? No, sir. I was doing exactly 22 miles an hour," the old woman said proudly. The officer, containing a chuckle, explains that 22 was the route number, or the route number, not the speed limit. A bit embarrassed, the woman grinned, thanking the officer for pointing out her error. "And before I go, ma'am, I have to ask, is everyone okay? These women seem badly shaken and haven't uttered a word all this time." "Oh, they'll be all right in a minute, officer. We just got off Route 142. That's dedicated to all the travellers on our roads. Mind boggles, don't they? I've entitled the message for today, "Scandalous Grace in a Wages World." I guess we could all tell our own story of what's fair and what's not fair, whether we've been paid enough or haven't been paid enough. And I wonder that the degree to which we sense that this is fair or not fair coming out of this parable will be an indicator of what we're thinking and how we're placed in all this. When about 4 years ago, I read a book called Fairness and Freedom. It wasn't a Christian book. It was written by a man called David Fisher, a botanist. And he wrote an historical look at the culture of New Zealand and how New Zealand was settled in the south by the Scots and Canterbury by the English and so on. And he also wrote about America and how that was settled, particularly from the east and the arrival of those from Britain. So we're both these two nations have been settled by those who've come out of Britain. One for this reason: those who settled in Canterbury came to escape the landlords and land barons of the time in England. And so fairness was important, and he pointed out in this book, and I think it's a fairly good thing, we have a bit of a thing about land and ownership and this kind of thing in New Zealand. And we also have a bit of a thing about what's fair and what's not fair. Fair Go is a program that lets you know that. And if you listen to kids in the school playground, you know, that's not fair. And we adults can sometimes lock into that too, and that just not fair. So fairness is something that we lock into in our culture. In American culture, it's freedom. They escaped they wanted freedom of religion from the state religion in Britain at the time. So America, the DNA of Americans is freedom. The DNA of Kiwis is fairness. And I thought, well, that's not a bad little summary of how it goes. The parable that we're looking at today strikes at the heart of fairness. It really does. What's fair and what's not fair? We all want fairness because it kind of gives us a bit of an order of things and what's predictable and what seems right, and we feel a lot pretty good when things are fair going our way, but not too fair when it's going someone else's way. Is that true? Is that a bit harsh? Fairness is based on what you think you deserve, how hard you work, what you achieve, the way in which you behave. And sometimes it's fair to give a reward, and sometimes it's not. But we live in and we promote a wage-based culture. We it's not fair if we don't get paid for what we do. And I think that we're now facing generations, no disrespect to us younger generations, but we're facing generations of people that either can't because they haven't got the time or the desire to do voluntary work. any of you who are involved in Meals on Wheels, whatever it might be, will know that that's become, and there's a generation of people who gave themselves in a voluntary way regardless. But we're not seeing that so much. And unless we get paid for it, we won't do it. Is that speaking to the point? Pretty close, I think. So what happens when God's goodness trumps fairness? Well, you get this parable. That's what you get. His goodness shines through this thing. And the first slide, they're really two worldviews. Two opposing worldviews. Wages kind of world and a grace kind of world. And I think that these two worldviews, we either live in it or sometimes we move in and out of it, but I wonder which one we're supposed to live out of. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like, this is a simile, is like the vineyard owner who went out and he hired these people different times of the day, and I won't go through the story again, but hired them at different times of the day, and then out of his goodness he did the right thing and paid them all the same. Now the only people that were whining about this were the people that worked the whole day. They worked 12 hours and got paid the same as the guy who worked for 1 hour, and that just didn't sit right. Now, as I speak that, I wonder, by the Spirit, if there's something that rises within us that says, that's just not fair. That's just not right. It's just, the guy that worked for 12 hours, slaving away, should be given either a lot more than the guy who only worked for an hour, or the guy that worked for an hour should get a lot less than the guy who worked. There's something within us that rises up and says, it's just not fair. Correct, it's not. It's not fair. It's called grace. It's called grace. And so, I want us this morning, and I trust God willing, over the next few weeks to explore this thing called grace. We know about it. I've preached about it forever. We use the word, we sing about it, and we talk about grace, and yet I would confess to you, I think I'm only starting, I'm at kindergarten, and coming to appreciate what grace really is all about. We say that we are saved by grace through faith. Isn't that wonderful? Don't ever forget that. Rejoice in that. And then we continue to live by struggle. This parable addresses living by grace, not by struggle. Living by grace. So there are two opposing worldviews. The degree to which this parable strikes at that unfair sort of rise in justice thing within us is the degree with which we don't fully appreciate grace. Grace is dangerous. Very dangerous. It reverses business as usual. At the end, I'm going to explain about this in just a second. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Ever wondered what that really means? So have I. Inquiring minds want to know. Those who came, we sort of put it in the context of the parable and say, those that came the 11th hour, they're going to be first. Well, the landowner paid them first. And those that were the first shall be last, and he paid them last. So is that what it's really talking about? This is a heavenly story, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. This has got some deep, deep truth and understanding about grace in it. And I'll just touch on that in a moment or two. But grace recognizes there's more about who we are rather than what we do. This church, from what I understand, has a wonderful evangelical tradition and heritage. Praise God for that. At the same time, with that comes a sort of a guilt complex that we should be doing more. We should be doing more evangelism. We should be doing more of this, jump higher, go through that hoop, more. And we sort of live sometimes with a strange guilt feeling that we should be doing more. And somehow that translates almost that we've got to, God's not pleased if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Let me give you this. You cannot make God love you any more or any less than he loves you right now. Doesn't matter what you do or don't do, God thinks you're wonderful. He created you after his own image. He put a stamp of ownership on you. And the only difference between those who are not saved, those that don't know God, and you and I, is that they don't know God. Everything else is the same. They're not the thems and the us's. They're the us's. They just don't know God yet. They need to meet you. And they need to meet me. Because we are the carriers of the grace of God. We are the carriers. What we carry is, you've got to know what we carry. We carry the awesome, awesome presence of God with us. If we know the Lord, he's come by his Spirit to indwell us. And we carry him. When we go to the supermarket, he goes with us. We are carriers of who he is. When we connect with people and we say hello and we shake hands with somebody, they are meeting face to face someone who is a carrier of the presence of God. Isn't that awesome? Hello? That's awesome. I'm glad you agree with me. This next slide, when it talks about grace reveals the goodness of God, absolutely it does. When we do something outrageous, scandalous, like this parable suggests, and actually pay somebody more than they're quote-unquote worth according to someone else, it's scandalous grace. When we give someone the dignity of recognizing that they're created in the image of God, they have intrinsic worth because of who they are, wow. It's who they are. It's not what they do. It's not how much they have or how little they have. It's who they are. It's not the skills that they have or don't have. It's who they are. We give something. Grace reveals the goodness of God. Anybody heard of Brennan Manning? You read some of his books? Brennan Manning is one of my favorites. I love Brennan Manning. Actually, we got to hear him preach one day.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Just before he passed away, he had to be helped up onto the pulpit. And when he preached, it was kind of like, boom! a powerful man of God. I love Brennan Manning because he's honest. And those of you who never heard of him, it's okay. He was a Roman Catholic priest. He actually came to know God sitting in a cave in Israel. He was a Roman Catholic priest and he didn't obey the rules and got married. So he stopped being a Roman Catholic priest. He was an alcoholic. He didn't obey the rules and drank to excess. But he's so honest about it. He had relapses. And he wrote this book, I think it was his first book, called The Ragamuffin Gospel, which is really soaking and dripping in the grace of God. And it's an incredible story. This is one of his quotes. He said, "We should be astonished at the goodness of God, stunned that he should bother to call us by name, our mouths wide open at his love, bewildered that at this very moment we're standing on holy ground." Wow. Grace reveals the goodness of God. And in this parable, I believe it shouldn't really be about the workers. It's really about the owner of the vineyard. It's what the parable's about. It's about the one who absolutely demonstrated grace. Messed up everybody's idea of what fair play was. Messed up everybody's idea of a wages world and introduced them to grace. He could have, a bit of back up and say this, that some of you have traveled, you've probably seen day workers. You've seen day workers? They stand on the street corners or prearranged places, and people drive by and they hire them for a day. They don't have any other money. We saw a lot of this in America, mainly Hispanic illegals. And they'd be paid just enough to get by for the day. They were dependent on whatever the hirer was going to give them. There was nothing fair. They didn't have a union, none of that sort of stuff. And every day we saw that. And the some that were just left there at the end of the day, they weren't going to eat that night, and neither was their family. And so in this story, it's the same thing. This landowner went out and found all these people, rounded them all up, these day workers, herded them in there, regardless of the time of the day, it seemed, although it coincided with the hours of prayer. Rounded them up, brought them in, gave them some work to do, and then told his steward to pay them all, from the last to the first, the same. His wonderful grace. So the first hired got what they signed on for. The others got whatever is right. I like this. I wanted to camp on this for just a second or two. Really about the owner and how generous, how kind, how good he really is. And if you've been on the receiving end, and I know you have, of the kindness and the goodness of God, his favor on us, it's a wonderful thing to enjoy. However, there is a responsibility for us when we've received that favor to go and do likewise, isn't there? Whatever is right. So here's the thing that I thought about as I was preparing for this past week. We settle for the usual daily wage when God wants to give us more. And I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about money. We settle for something that we call Christianity when God wants to give us more. He wants to shower his grace on us, his favor on us, and turn the smiles upside down. When you're on the receiving end of the favor of God, you cannot help but look goofy. Whatever is right. You come and work in my vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever's right. So it's an invitation. Come on in, and I'm going to pay you whatever's right. And what is right? My grace. My goodness. Let it shower all over you. That's what's right. Whatever is the right thing. Sometimes we trust a wage-based life more than we trust grace. Don't we? We're saved by grace and live by struggle. Salvation by grace, sanctification by struggle. We have a Heavenly Father who's madly in love with his kids. And is he going to look after us? Yeah. But what do? We worry. We live by struggle and not by grace. Whatever is right. I'll just touch on the last will be first and the first will be last just for a second. That slide up there somewhere? Yeah, first and the last. You ever wondered about that? Anybody help me with my theology here for a second? Before I give you the benefit of my small wisdom. You thought about that? You're allowed to speak, it's legal.
It's a bit like loading lanes on a truck.
There you go. How does that work?
Last one's on, the first one's off.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
But like the thief on the cross?
Thief on the cross?
Yeah.
Right?
Right, the last.
Right. And Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. In him, that's how it works.
Okay. First night, that's good. Some good answers there, including the one about the lambs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. We live in a world where it's competitive. We're looking at the Paralympics at the moment. Pretty incredible stuff going on there. Doesn't quite get the same hype as the other. I don't know why, because it's better. But here's the thing. There's going to be those who are first, and there's going to be those who are not the last. The thing I like about the Paralympics is they're all first. There's no lasts in that lot. Notice that? Not really. Even being in this whole thing is incredible. But it's kind of like a race. The only way that the first can be last and the last first is if they all cross the finish line together. No winners, no losers. First and last. It's the only way that can happen. Jesus is teaching us about what it is like to live as kingdom people. We all get paid the same. We all get across the line at the end of the race first. The last will be first, and the first will be last. We're all going across together. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ, heading out for that wonderful celebration of the day that we meet our Lord face to face. That's what it's about, the first and the last. And for just a few moments as I conclude here, and some of you say, really? He's going to finish already? And others are saying, about time. How do we move from a wage-based way of thinking into a grace way of thinking? Got some things for you to think about. Number one, we've got to stop comparing ourselves and our life to others. When we stop comparing, I'm better or I'm not so good or whatever it might be, because whether we like it or not, we're in a culture that compares. And sometimes when somebody falls on hard times, we don't stop and say how grateful we are before God for the good times that we're enjoying. So we kind of compare. When we stop comparing ourselves with others, we leave room for grace to emerge and compassion to emerge. But grace comes out of that. So that's how we go from wages to grace. We stop comparing. Number two, we refuse to compete in such a way that someone else has got to lose so that we can win. I've really hurt myself badly at times because I've been guilty of doing this. I'm Scottish in my heritage, you know, I have to admit that. Anybody admit that? Scottish? Ask Ethel, she will tell you how Scottish I am. But you know, when we get a bargain, when we do some kind of a deal, and we get a bargain, we rejoice at the fact that we got this score, this bargain. Does anybody here like coffee? I'm not addicted to coffee, I just like it an awful lot, and often. But we scored this incredible coffee maker for $5, advertised on Trade Me. For $5, $15 to get it here. Not a bad deal. $400 coffee machine for $5. And then I was reminded that somebody could have got a lot more for that than the $5 we paid. But I was rejoicing at the favor of God on my life. Everything was fine. Just how wonderful coffee is and all that kind of stuff. And missed that. Wow, somebody has got to lose so that I win. But isn't that life? You know, we just live in this culture where somebody's got to lose and somebody else has got to win. And as long as we're winning, we're fine. And last night was a demonstration of that.
What was on it last night?
Oh, well, some football game. Some people chasing a bit of pigskin around the paddock somewhere. But refuse to compete. Number three, trust in God's kingdom, His world. In the kingdom of God, there's enough for everyone and more. Let's be people of the kingdom. Let's live in the light of His kingdom. Oh, wow. Trust in His kingdom. Here's another one. Let go of expectations based on what we think we or others deserve. We've got to stop expecting, We live in a culture, I think, where it's entitlement is almost the norm. We're entitled to this. I'm just going to tell on some people I know that are close to me, shall remain nameless. But you know, when you start out and you buy your first home and you get into that, start to show my age and all that. I know it does. But, you know, you sort of had to sit on a banana box or whatever it was because you didn't have the right kind of furniture. You just kind of scraped in there. You know what I mean? Well, now the entitlement expectation is that it's got to be color coordinated with, you know, stainless steel everything. And, you know, things have changed a little. Is anybody filling in the gaps there? Know what I mean? Entitlement. Let go of expectations based on what we think we deserve. Because I tell you what, regardless of whether it's a banana box or whether it's the latest whatever, in the kingdom of God, there's more of His goodness available to us. And we all cross the line together, and we can't take much with us. Number five, give God the freedom to pay whatever is right, knowing that God's ways are never like ours. He always outthinks us. He always outgives us. He always outsmarts us. He's always got something that we least expect. And it's always good. I don't know where we get the idea that God is waiting up there in heaven somewhere and He's ready to whack somebody as soon as they do something wrong. He's a God of grace. Incredible grace. Number six, make no judgments of ourselves or others. That's the way of grace. And we stop sitting in the judgment chair. Oh, prone to do it. Every day. Every day we find ourselves making judgments. Evaluations are different. But they can just be judgments. Imagine if we'll let go of these things. Imagine what it would be like. Your life will be God-filled. Space for the life of God to develop in other people, and flourishing would happen. The world would become a little bit like the kingdom of God if that starts to happen. Do you know why you're left here and not taken immediately to be with God? Do you know why? Let me help you with that. The reason you're here and the reason I'm here is so that we might be visible demonstrations of what the kingdom of God is like. Full of grace. Scandalous grace. In a wage-filled world. We're going to sing a song. And you know the song, Amazing Grace. I don't know what version it is, but there's a couple of three around, and I like them all. This is one of those songs that has an enduring anointing. It's been around for a while, and if you read the background and the story of Amazing Grace, which you might get to one day, it's an incredible story of how Newton wrote this and how it came into being. So I'd encourage us to stand and sing this amazing song.
My God, my Savior, has ransomed me.
And now, by grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be yours, all of you who are looking forward to his coming and are enjoying his presence now. Amen.